West Virginia mountain melody. There's a new river singing to me. Oh, this time it's wild and free, your West Virginia mountain melodies.
Greetings and welcome to this edition of Around and About the Clarksburg History Museum, and I'm your host, Martha Jett. Today, we're happy to have as our guest, Faith Dixon of the VFW Post 573 in Clarksburg. Faith, welcome to our museum and to this podcast.
Thank you.
Now, before we get started, Faith, tell me a little bit about yourself and your role at the VFW Post here in Clarksburg. Like, where were you born?
Okay, well, I was born in Clarksburg right here at St. Mary's Hospital. My mother was Floetta Hope Davis Gallo Knapp. Pete Gallo was my biological father. Everett Henderson Knapp was my stepfather. They were both veterans, both served in the Battle of the Bulge.
Oh my.
My father was married to my mother and had three little kids at home at the time. My stepfather was still single and lived with his mother. I learned all that information reading the DD-214s. I became an employee of the VFW in December of 2021. And then in the spring of 22, I joined the auxiliary, and I'm now the president of the auxiliary.
Oh, okay.
And going back through records, I found where several of my aunts had been there. And in talking to my mother, when a boy from around here, and maybe somebody listening will remember, I think it was an old Tony Audia, but I'm not sure about that. I know the Gallows and the Audias were related. And my mother and father had went to Baltimore with a group of men from here to work in the shipyards when the war started. They didn't actually join the service, but they went and worked in the shipyards. And my mother took care of the boarding house and did the sheets and did all the cooking for the guys. And supposedly they were in 12-hour shifts, and one shift would leave and she'd fix the bed for the next shift. And that's how they all stayed in that big boarding house. And then this Audia got killed in the war and they all joined the war. So I had an Uncle John Gallo was in the war. My Uncle Tony Gallo, my father was Pete.
Were they in the army or what?
Pete was in the army. I don't know about any others, but I have pictures of Pete in the army. And I have pictures he sent my mom, those postcards that they used to send out with him on the ground with his gun. And he was in Czechoslovakia. So I know he was there for a while.
Did you hear a lot of stories growing up about
the
war?
No, neither one of them ever talked.
They didn't talk.
Neither one of them ever talked. I know my stepfather rode in a tank, and this man was over 6 feet tall. He was a real tall, thin guy. He was from, I believe, Doddridge County, the Knapps. But he loaded the big shells up into the tanks. So he was in one of those tanks the whole time he was over, and he talked about how heavy they were and how loud it was when they fired and how dirty it was. But never anything about all of the death and destruction that I'm sure they
I don't
they had
think a lot of veterans talk about
no,
that.
It was, I think, too much for
how them. What made you interested in working there at the VFW?
They called me. Billy Joe Claypool, who is in the head of our honor flight here in Clarksburg, knew they were looking for someone, knew I had an accounting degree, and she put us in touch with each other. And that's how I got the job. Didn't have anything to do with any of that. But when I got into to actually work, and there were papers all over the VFW because, as you know, we were established in 1920. So I found tons of paperwork where they had done memorials every year. And I found all of my aunt's names in there. And I mean, it was so cool. Oh, Joe Billy, my Uncle Joe Billy, he's a life member. Joe Billy Gallo used to have a record service here in town. I'm sorry, Uncle Joe. I believe it left him out of the brothers. But there were six Gallo boys that my grandmother had. She had 12 children that lived. And my Aunt Frida is still alive and lives in Bridgeport. Uncle Joe Billy is still alive. I know we had his 90th birthday party a few years ago.
Oh, my.
And who else? Uncle Carl is still alive. He's younger than Aunt Frida. Uncle Carl was a baby, so he's probably in his 80s. But, yeah.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Tell me, like, A little bit about, first of all, people don't know, where is the VFW post located?
We're on West Pike Street. It's 430 West Pike Street. They've been there, I believe, for a long time. I know I found deed records from 1955. Maybe somebody listening was a VFW member and knows the answers to some of our questions today and can call and let us know. We're between the library and the Robinson Grant, and you really can't miss us. There's a big pole with a flag and the big Spanish American War cannon that sits out front.
Yes, we are going to talk about that cannon on
that
Pike
cannon
Street.
Is very famous. So yes,
but let's start. It started in 1920.
Started in December 9th of 1920, and it was formed by World War I veterans returning. That's the name Meuse-Argonne, which was a battle that they had in November of 1918, and I believe it was in France. But somewhere in here, it lists the original founding members of our VFW.
And they were all World War I vets.
They were all World War I vets,
yes,
ma'am.
Did you have, in those early days, I bet you probably had some Spanish-American War veterans that were probably
Probably, hence the cannon being a Spanish-American War cannon. And the battle there, that battle was in when?
Well, let's talk about the cannon.
Okay, so
I will tell you, in my whole life going through Clarksburg, I passed that cannon probably 1,000 times. And it always intrigued me, what is that cannon and why is it there? So let's tell the story about that cannon's been all over Clarksburg.
It has, and it's got a very famous reputation. So WVU found me an article from July 7th, 1899. And they had a big party here in Clarksburg to celebrate July the 4th. And to have that cannon presented, and they put it in the Glen Elk Park. It's my understanding that the cannon was on a train and got abandoned at our depot.
Oh.
So, because it says something in the article about 1898. It was here in 1898, but this is July of 99. When they finally dedicate it to the city of
Kingston. And they brought it over to the, at that time, the railroad was the center of Clarksburg. And they had a park
they
over
had a
there.
Park
and
there.
They had it right by, I think it was right by the B&O Railroad
it was.
Station there.
Yes, it was. If so you go over there now, you can visualize it.
Yeah.
Is the depot still there?
Yes.
Yeah, because
yes.
I remember the depot from growing up in Clarksburg.
Yeah, so it's set over there. It was over,
set over there
quite a few
quite
years.
Quite a few years, because then the next time we can find a record of it is an article you gave me from the 1900s, April 12th. And evidently, it says some upstanding citizens of Clarksburg did not like the house of ill repute that was across the street from the depot. And they filled up our cannon with powder and rocks and nails and fired it across the street
in the middle of the night.
And it says that the ladies went scurrying and some of the customers went scurrying. It knocked the windows out and the doors off the hinges, and Madam Dowd was arrested and taken to jail.
It said the boom of the cannon created considerable excitement at the time. I bet it did.
I bet it did too.
So that was the next episode of the cannon.
Yes, and the story that had circulated before we found the newspaper article was that young hoodlums had done that.
I would
fun.
Think they probably did
for
a bunch
fun.
Of kids.
Yeah, well, that's what they said. But then we found the article that said, oh, no.
Well, on this article, I want to just interject that for a minute.
Yeah.
The article that tells about that cannon being let off, I got that from the Waldemore, from David Houchin.
Okay. He's a wealth of information.
Who knows everything.
David. He does.
But he told me, and I thought this was kind of interesting, this came out of the Fairmont Free Press newspaper.
That's true, yes.
Because Clarksburg wouldn't put anything in the paper because it was kind of bad news about Clarksburg.
Yes.
But Fairmont at that time, anything bad that happened in Clarksburg, Fairmont
in the
wanted
Fairmont
to print
paper, it. And probably vice versa.
Yeah,
right?
I'd say so.
So then we lose track of our dear cannon. So we're hoping that maybe someone here, they did put an article in the paper in 2006 about the cannon, but it really just gives us the same kind of information that
we think it was Holy Cross Cemetery
before, though.
Yeah.
And we can't find out when it. So after it was fired across the street, they fixed it so that it could not be fired anymore.
And why they didn't fix that before,
in the very beginning?
Well,
they probably entered their mind.
No,
it was Glen Elk.
Yeah.
It was that time of.
And mischievous boys. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but I don't think it was mischievous boys.
I don't know.
I think it was.
We don't know who did that. So.
Well, in that first article, somewhere down in there, it says something about upstanding citizens of Clarksburg. But they probably don't know either. You're probably right about that. Okay, so we do lose, though. We don't know. The next thing we know, in that article from 2006, it talks about it being in the Holy Cross Cemetery. Now, my veterans have told me it wasn't actually down in the Holy Cross part, that the cemetery part up by Hardee's is a different cemetery, and then Holy Cross is in the back. I don't know that that's true, but it sat there for years. And then it's my understanding that sometime after we built our new building, I think in the early 50s, but I'm not sure about that either, if somebody's listening. So Paul Howe is our historian at the Post.
Okay.
And he had thought that it sat in the Jackson Family Cemetery. But no, this article confirms that it was in Holy Cross Cemetery. And he thought that he had been told that the cannon was moved by a record, Paul Howe thought that the cannon had been moved by a crane through town. So we tried to find some kind of record of that, which you would think it would have been a big deal.
Yeah, you would have thought so.
We could find no record. So then later I was talking to another older member at the Post, and Melvin Reed, and I said, tell me what you remember about the cannon. And he said, well, I know that your Uncle Joe Billy Gallo moved that cannon there with his wrecker service. So knowing my family, that's why there's no record of it, because Uncle Joe just took his truck down there one night and hooked the cannon up and moved it to the Post, and there probably was no big production made of it. But what started me on the story was we had an elimination dinner right after I started at the Post, and Uncle Joe came to that dinner and said to me, do you know the story of your cannon? And so I said, no. So he tells me about him moving it. He didn't know about the House of Ill Repute, but he knew about that he had moved it there was his wrecker. And he told me that story. So then I went to Paul Howe, and he said, no, it was moved by a crane. So then I asked Melvin Reed, what do you know? And he said, I know your Uncle Joe moved it there. So I'm going to go with that story.
I am too. If you have like two confirmed.
Yeah, and Uncle Joe, that was his recollection.
Yeah.
He knew he did it. He's a life member of our Post, being a veteran, and he just did it for them.
So if people have never been to Clarksburg and they want to see a very historic cannon that has been all over town.
All over town and all over the world, because it was built in Spain.
Yes, it was built in Spain.
And it was used by General Dewey, I believe it was his name, in one of those famous battles.
And it weighs like 6,000 and some pounds or something.
Yeah, it's 6,283 pounds. It's 12 feet long, and it has a 6 3/5 inch caliper.
So
and a 32 ponder. That must be the thing that you stick in.
Yeah, I think so.
See, we're not really up on cannons.
No, I am not on artillery.
But it's big,
it's
beautiful.
It's beautiful.
And it was fired in this war that we had, in the Spanish-American War. I believe I read in the article where it was in the Philippines. Manila.
Yes.
Yeah. General Dewey entered the Bay of Manila. It had been used by the officials for years, and passed on the occasion of the ceremony, such as the firing of salutes. The last salute was to Dewey and was an Old Glory on May 1st, 1898.
So it's got a lot of history.
It's got a lot of history. And there are only six of them in the United States.
I am so glad that I stopped and asked you about this, because that has bugged me my whole life of how that cannon got.
Yeah. Well, you know, our Post has a long history here in Clarksburg, and we have tons of old pictures of different sets of members, and we have a couple uniforms. And once they get they're calling it a museum, it's just a little room over there set up, then whatever we have left, we will donate to the Clarksburg History Museum. But thank I you. Hear that you guys are busting at the seams.
We
here,
are, but so. We still take donations. Very thank good. You. Thank right. you. Tell a little bit about the history, like what you know, some highlights maybe throughout the years. And tell folks that don't know, because I don't know, what all does the VFW post in Clarksburg do? I know you're doing the honor flight.
Yeah, well, the honor flight is a separate program all by itself.
Okay.
But it rents a office in our building.
Okay.
And yes, this weekend, well, it won't be this weekend, will it?
Well, when we record this, it's yeah. going to be the weekend. Do you have it every
no,
September?
No, it's this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend.
And then she won't have another one, maybe spring, maybe not till next fall.
So do you have several throughout the year or just the one?
I believe she only has one. It's like almost $200,000.
And what is the honor flight? Explain that.
So that is any veteran. You don't have to be a member of the Post or the American Legion or anywhere else. Any veteran that wants to go, they provide free transport for them to go to Washington, D.C. to see all the memorials, the Vietnam Memorial, World War II, anything.
That's wonderful.
And every veteran has to have a guardian to go with them to make sure there's no troubles. So, but the guardians pay their own way. The veterans honor flight works hard all year to get donations in to pay for them.
That's
the
great.
VFW will be going to the airport at 4:30 this Saturday morning to serve breakfast to them all before they leave. And then when they come home between, I think they said 8:30 and 9, everybody that wants to can show up at the airport and welcome them back.
That's
like
nice.
The Vietnam guys who never got welcomed back, they really do appreciate it. And it goes, this flight, of course, has been filled up for a while. But if you want to, just get a hold of us at the Post and I can get you Billy Joe's number. And get on the list for the next time. Or if you would like to go and be a guardian, they need guardians always too.
Tell about, you have a website.
Yes,
too,
we have a website.
And that would be on your website also.
Yes, there is an honor guard tab on the website. It's vfw573.com.
.com.
I think I told you .org the other day, but I think it's .com.
I did .com and I found it. It's a wonderful website.
Yeah, we have just set that up. We haven't had it very long. And our new quartermaster, his name's Ronald Eagle. Isn't that wonderful that a veterans organization has a man named Eagle?
That's great.
And his wife was Mrs. Eagle, and she taught at RCB High School. So
okay.
They are the Eagles. Okay, so Ron Eagle is, let's be delicate, younger than most of the people that have been helping us at the VFW. So he got that website all set up and it is wonderful. You can join there. You can pay your dues there. You can find out all the stuff. We have a calendar. So you can look at the calendar and see what all we're doing this month. We have a rental hall that people can rent there at the VFW. So we rent that out as a way to make money to do our we have an outreach program for veterans and we do bingo at the VA nursing home once a month and pay out little prizes. And the gentlemen out there really enjoy it. The Post provides the payout money and the auxiliary provides food. So today when we go, we're having strawberry shortcake. Oh, Patti LaBelle's banana cream pie. No advertising, but it is delicious.
Oh,
I bought
that
it at
sounds
the Walmart.
Good.
I bought them one of those little cheesecakes. It's got 8 different kinds of cheesecakes, so they can pick which one they want.
So they eat good.
They eat good. Fruit.
Food's important.
We have fruit. We always take fruit. Today, just grapes, but usually different kinds of fruit. But today, just grapes because I went all out on the sweets. And we have some that like cheese and crackers. So I get the big tray at Walmart with the cheese, 2 kinds of cheeses and 2 kinds of salami and the crackers and a little dish of olives in the middle.
So they have their choice.
And we take drinks. Yeah, and we take drinks. And then they play for about an hour till the money's gone. We play till the money's gone.
Oh, that's good. That's
yeah.
And it's good fellowship
with
other people.
It is good fellowship. And they are so adorable. I just love them. All of them.
Now, you also have, I think, an honor guard that does funerals.
The honor guard is the same thing. It's not a part of the Post. It's the Harrison County Honor Guard, but they do rent a room in our Post and they always need members. So if anybody out there, you do not have to be a member of anything. You only have to be an honorably discharged veteran. They will buy you the shoes. You need a pair of, not shoes, I'm sorry. They will buy you your shirt and a jacket and a or something else, but you have to have a pair of black pants, pair of black shoes.
Okay.
And you just go put the service members to bed when they pass away. And that they really do need help. The ones we have are getting up there. They're mostly World War II veterans, and we need some new blood over there.
It's like so, anywhere else, Faith. We need younger people to keep this going.
We absolutely do.
And what's more important than our veterans?
And putting them, you know, showing them respect when they're being laid to rest is really high on the list of what we should do for them. So,
and then when I was over there the other day, I got to sit in for a few minutes with the Guitars for Vet program, which I think is wonderful. And we're going to probably tack on the interview with him to do that.
Okay.
Tell a little bit about that.
So those are programs that are offered through the VA, and they're available to any veteran. Like if you have PTSD or any kind of trauma, or if you just need a new hobby late in life, whatever it is, you go out there and you apply through their program, and they will buy you the guitar, and you come, and these lessons are free. You don't have to pay anything. Jim Snyder is the teacher.
And they're on Tuesdays.
They're on Tuesdays from 12 to 2, and they start out slow, and I get to listen to them. And as the weeks go by, it's just wonderful to hear. Sometimes I sit in my office and sing.
Oh, that would be nice.
It's wonderful. And the VA also has a program that meets at our place called Healing Waters. And they teach the vets to tie their own flies and make their own fly fishing poles. And I believe it might be through Project Wounded Warrior, Potomac Highland Wounded Warriors, which is the Wounded Warriors branch that we mainly support. We have hair cutting sometimes, and people pay so much money for the ladies to cut their hair, and then they donate that money. I believe it was $1,600 last year that we were able to donate to Project Wounded Warriors. That's and they great. Take them on fishing trips. So, and that's hunting nice. Trips. A lot of Project Wounded Warriors do a lot of really good things. And I also want to mention the suicide prevention, because I believe it's 22 servicemen a day that commit suicide. I'm not sure about that, but I know it's very high. It's a very high percentage of our veterans.
So you offer this service for vets?
We have the information to get to them, to get them to where they need help. Anybody that needs anything, any veteran, whether you're a member of the VFW or not, if you're a veteran and you need anything, call the VFW, 304-622-3591. If it's not something we can help you with, we can put you in touch with resources that can help you. Like I have a list of the food banks in the area, and you know, there are different services that are available through the VA too, social services for. So just let us know, reach out and say you need something, and we'll do our best to get it to you.
That's wonderful. And I don't think a lot of people know about all those programs.
No, we do a lot. We have that poppy drive. We do a couple of those a year, and that money goes directly to relief. We can't spend it on anything except helping the veterans.
Now, I remember when they used to give out the poppies and on the That's streets still in Clarksburg.
The same thing.
Did they still do that?
We do it during the parade.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Last year we set up a table and we had all the suicide prevention information and the poppy information there on the table, because the parade goes right in front of the VFW. And I have a picture on my desk. It was developed. That tells you how long ago it was. In 1999, and it's my Aunt Thomasina Nicholson, Rose Gallo, and my mother, Hope Knapp, and my sisters, and a bunch of the younger kids, and we're at a parade, so it was probably Veterans Parade in 1998, and we're sitting on the porch of the VFW.
Oh,
so,
that's neat.
Yeah, so I went and got the picture and put it in my office.
Now,
yeah.
The parade is held when?
This year, it's November the 11th. It's always on Veterans Day. And we will have free soup, beans, and cornbread open to the public, as we do every year after the parade. Come on into the post when the parade's over and join us.
That's nice.
Yeah, we love the parade. We organize it and put it on, and it's a wonderful day.
Have we left out anything?
I know we also, on Memorial Day, the Honor Guard and the rest of our veterans put flags on the graves with the junior ROTC kids from RCB. They're not all RCB, but I guess all the schools in the county combined, and that's where the ROTC program is at RCB, First Sergeant Brownfield.
Is that just in Clarksburg they put the flags on the graves, or Harrison County total?
It's Harrison County total. Now, okay. I'm not sure that we do. I know we go I know we do too. We do the one out on 19, I believe. So okay. I think we probably do go out of here, out of the city of Clarksburg, and do some of the local ones in the county.
Do you do the Wreaths Across America at all?
Andy? No, but we have the information on that lady. Okay. They get in touch with us because sometimes the ROTC kids help with that too.
So Faith Dixon, you're the go-to if anyone has any questions.
Yep, I'm the only one. I'm the only employee that the VFW actually has. We have girls in the canteen, the manager down there, and the bartenders. But I'm the only official VFW employee. And I'm usually only there from 10 to 2. It's a little part-time job. But if you leave me a message on the answering machine, I will get back to you and we'll get whatever you need taken care of.
Talk a little bit, too, before we end this. I want to know about your women's auxiliary.
Yes, ma'am.
And the name that was derived from that.
Yes, so the name is Lucinda Rose. And in our research for our thing this morning, I'm leaving this with you.
Oh, okay.
I found a bunch of stuff about her. And she was born in Braxton County. No, she was born in Doddridge County. And then they moved. No, they found them in the records in Braxton County. But she came to Clarksburg to go to St. Mary's Hospital to nursing school. That's how we got her. And I was delivered by Dr. Rose. So I cannot think that they were not somehow related, because it says in here somewhere that the mother, in her obituary, it talked about her mother and something about a Dr. David Rose.
Well, that's probably the same family.
So then. I'm thinking, and a couple of her sisters were nurses.
So this time period is right before World War One.
Yes, she came to, in 1914, she graduated from nursing school. So 1910. Oh, she was postmaster. She had a brother. Let's go back here so I don't get this wrong. The oldest of the Rose children. Married a Waltman Furby, brother of Orlando's Dr. Gilbert Furby. See, that's 1908, and they're already doctors.
Yeah.
So,
very, very well to, you know,
very well to do family. Yeah.
There.
Her mother's name was Mary J., and her dad was D.V. Rose. So that is it. So, So her sister married a postmaster in Burnsville.
Didn't she have a sister, too, that was also a nurse?
Yes, another one. Yeah. So
she always wanted to be in that medical field to help people.
Yes, yes.
And I think if I remember reading this, after she graduated from St. Mary's, I think she practiced as a nurse down at Shinston, I believe.
Yes. But not in a hospital, right? Just as a nurse. Was there a hospital? Because
I don't
think
so.
That's exactly what it says. Yeah. That she graduated from her studies. She began nursing career in Shinston. But before she was a nurse, she was the postmaster in Burnsville.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to get to. Her brother did it, and then she trained with him. And became the postmaster. Okay. So.
And then I think she went to Shinston, and if memory serves me right, I think people loved her.
They did.
Shinston.
It says in the article.
She was just really well liked.
She was happy and fun and always smiling. Yeah. Grace, the third daughter, was also a nurse.
Okay.
There you go. So in 1918, she volunteered for overseas service. Before that, when she graduated from nursing school in 1914, she joined the Red Cross as a nurse. And then in 1918, she volunteered overseas as an American Red Cross nurse.
Now, can you imagine, she's probably very young at that point,
yeah,
wanting to go over to the war at France.
She was 29 when she died.
Yeah, she was
so
very
young.
She was
like 25.
And a beautiful lady. You have a beautiful portrait
of her. We have a beautiful picture of her. Yes, and that is in this article, too. Someone came when the picture was first put up, and for the presentation of that picture.
Well, let's tell though. Okay, so she goes to the war.
She goes to the war.
She goes over to France
during the Spanish-American War.
I thought she was there during World War One.
Oh, it is World War One.
Yeah,
right.
She was there during World War
One. They're talking about the Red Cross was founded in 1881. And that was where there was an.
And
Spanish
at that time, that was the only way for a woman to want to be involved into a war was to probably be a nurse, because you couldn't really, they didn't have any women fighting over there or anything.
No.
So she volunteered, wanted to be a nurse, went over to France.
They could not find any record of her, what boat she went on.
Ah, okay.
But it says that while no U.S. Army nurses died as a result of enemy action, three were wounded by shell fire and 272 died of disease, primarily tuberculosis, influenza, and pneumonia. Members of the American Nurses, ANC, it says, who died during their Army service were buried with military honors. During World War I, 296 American Red Cross nurses and 127 American Red Cross ambulance drivers died in service to humanity. So she was lucky that she didn't do that. But
so let's set the scene for people that don't know. Yeah. There was a horrible, we thought yeah. COVID was bad. There was a horrible Spanish influenza that was going around at that time.
Yes.
And what spread it here in this country were the soldiers and people yes. returning back
yes.
from France.
It says the year was 1918, 3 years after typhus ran rampant in battlefields and hospitals in Europe. It was the year of the pandemic of the Spanish flu of La Gripe. And that's there's several books written by about Lucinda Rose, and it references back the book that you could read. But it says November 21st, 1918, she got her typhus on the boat, taking care of people on her way over there. And she actually died in England.
What made Lucinda Rose so famous for Harrison County, she was the only woman of Harrison County that died during the war, service over there. So you all took that as the name for your auxiliary.
We did. Lucinda Rose was the name of they gave it our auxiliary, and I'm trying to find.
And they have a beautiful, and we'll probably post it on this podcast, a beautiful, it's a painting, isn't it, of Lucinda Rose?
It looks like a painting to me.
It's beautiful. And I don't think many people realize the importance of that lady for Harrison County. She sacrificed her life.
She absolutely did. In the article, the Shinston News article about her death, there was another veteran that we want to mention. His name was James Knight, and he also died of influenza at the same time she did, and Shinston put it in
the
paper.
We think COVID was bad. There, it was... I mean, I don't even know how to explain how bad it was.
It was.
I did talk with an Italian gentleman that lived over in Anmore during that time. And I remember him telling me they would come with a wagon and they would stack bodies up from that died from this flu. He said it looked like cordwood every day.
Well, you know, also they had an outbreak in the Revolutionary War.
Oh, okay.
And George Washington made his soldiers get vaccinated when the vaccine came about.
Oh, okay.
And it said that was one of the things that saved a number of the Revolutionary War soldiers, because you know how bad it was where Washington was. Valley Forge
and all that.
Yeah.
And I know, too, I love to read about the Civil War. Really, most of your soldiers died from, like, disease or, you know, something in the camps like that.
Well, yeah, because... I mean, they just took an axe and cut off their whatever. I mean, because that's what they had
and
to
there,
do.
And there wasn't a lot of vaccines at that time.
No, and that was...
So let's talk about what your auxiliary does. What some of the things, the highlights of that.
Okay. Well, like I said, we do the food for the bingo at the nursing home. We do the food for the Veterans Day Parade, the auxiliary does the food. Our commander right now is Joshua Cunningham, and he does a lot of our cooking. He's got a big roaster thing that we do chicken roast. If you drive by the post on a Saturday, some mornings you'll see the big cooker out there and stop and pick you up a chicken roast, dinner.
That's nice.
What else does our auxiliary do? That's a good question.
How many members do you have?
Right now we have 204, I believe. So to be a member, you cannot be a member of the VFW unless your relative, you served in a foreign war. In our paperwork this morning, I brought the information. He's got in here the wars that qualify.
Let me ask you this as a lady.
Yeah.
If I had a grandfather that was in World War II,
yes.
And I can prove that,
yes.
Can I become a member?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Grandfather, father, brother, sister.
Do I have to bring you documentation?
You do. You have to bring a DD-214. Now, that is the paper that they got when they were discharged. When I joined the auxiliary, my father and my stepfather both returned home from the war to Harrison County. And they were told to go register at the Harrison County Courthouse. All the returning veterans needed to register. If your ancestor did that, you can get a free copy at the courthouse. It's called a DD-214. And it just made me smile. I made copies for all of my sisters and brothers because it's got, you know, their age and where they lived when they went in and where they were discharged to and how many dependents and all the medals they won and where they were. It's just a wealth of information.
And that'd be great, too, if you're researching your family history.
It would. Absolutely. Now, here in Clarksburg, we have a new, it's called Veterans Service Office, VSO. They're in the state office building with the DMV and the unemployment and the human services. They're on the third floor there. And they have a site, they gave me a site called archives.gov. And you're supposed to be able to go on there and get a DD-214 if it's not at the courthouse. But I've ran into trouble not having the information that I need for that computer to do it for me. But if you go to the VSO office, somebody there should be able to help you get your DD-214. But I got mine from my father and my stepfather. Now, to join the post, you don't actually have to prove it. You don't have to bring your DD-214. If you want to run as an officer, you do. But for the auxiliary, everybody has to have the DD-214. And we have a thing called a wheel. And so your husband, your father, your brother, your son, grandfather, grandson, granddaughter, grandmother, daughter, sister, mother, or wife. If you have any of those people that were in a foreign war, they still have to have been in a foreign war, then you're eligible to join our auxiliary.
Okay.
But as everybody knows, our membership is greatly declining. We have about 600 altogether.
I was going to ask you that. Do you have any World War II vets?
Oh, we have a lot of World War II vets still. Okay. Jimmy Tallarico, Melvin Reed, those ones I was talking about, they're all World War II vets.
Okay.
We have a lot of World War II vets.
But they're getting up in age.
But they're getting up in age, 75, 80.
Yeah.
Jimmy's and it's hard for them to go on the honor guard stuff. So, like I said, you don't have to be a member of the post or the auxiliary or anything else. You just have to be an honorably discharged veteran, and you can come and help the honor guard put the veterans to bed.
Okay, Faith, how many veterans do you have there at the post?
We have about 600, counting the VFW members and the auxiliary members, but we used to have 2,000. And, you know, it's a big old building, and it's a lot of upkeep on the building, so it is a financial drain. We are applying for some kind of grants because all the wiring is old wiring, and we just had to replace the gas line. There was a leak, and had to move that big, huge meter outside. The freezer broke, and then last week, the refrigerator went down, but they were 30 years old. So, you know, they gave us good service while they were alive. But yeah, it is a big expense. But that's not the point that
But if people want to donate, I mean, anyone can donate.
Anyone can donate.
Any business or
individual. You can go to the website, and I believe there's a way to donate at the website, but you can also just mail a check to the VFW 430 West Pike Street.
Okay.
And if you don't want to do, it's P.O. Box 537, Clarksburg, 26302. So you could even send it to the post office box if you're worried about it being in the mail.
Or just drop in.
Yeah. So that's where we were going with that, was that, you know, we used to have a huge membership and it wasn't as hard. But now that the World War II guys are falling off and the Vietnam guys are still a little timid about coming out and the new guys, I don't know. Recently, we've had about, I'd say, 10 to 15 new veterans come and join.
Okay.
We have a thing in Fairmont 459th Battalion. Last year we went and fed them when they did, they were practicing building a bridge across the West Fork River up there in Fairmont. Is that the West Fork? No, that's not the West Fork.
I'm not sure.
The West Fork. I'm whatever river it is, it runs through the middle of Fairmont. They built a bridge across it. and we went and fed them. So they have their Christmas party here, and I think some of their members have now joined. But and people from Clarksburg will join ours. Like when I sent out letters the other day, I noticed there were a lot to Pensacola and, you know, Arizona. But I'm assuming that they were all Clarksburg natives, and they just stay a member of our
post. They've moved away and stayed.
Yes, and you can be a life member. So when you join, there's a thing on the paper and you can make payments and you pay according to your age. As you get older, it's less. And then you never have to pay again. You can be a life member forever.
Do you have a cafeteria or something?
If well, people it's eat not lunch? A cafeteria, but it is a canteen that's open to the public. The public can come in and eat. She's a really good cook. Her name's Darlene Skinner. She's been our bar manager for almost 15 years, I believe. And we also once a month have a free membership dinner that anybody that's a member comes down to the canteen and we set up a little buffet.
And what are the hours of that?
5 to 7.
Okay.
We all kind of just socialize and find out what's going on with everybody.
So it's just a good time.
Yeah, there's a canteen down there. They sell liquor and beer and food, and they have their little raffle stuff they do down there too.
I'll tell you what, I like just your front porch there.
It is a beautiful front porch.
I could sit on the front porch
there's
and
a nice
look out
breeze,
at Pike Street all day.
Nice breeze.
Yeah.
Across. Well, I mean, it's, I tell everybody, Clarksburg is two streets, Main Street and Pike Street.
Right.
So, you know, there we are. But Robinson Grand has a lot of stuff that goes on over there.
Yeah.
Because
you're right next to the Robinson Grand.
Yeah, so we own the Liberty Tax building too. So if you're coming to the VFW, you can park on either side of our building. Both of those parking lots belong to us.
Oh, well, that's important.
It is.
Especially in Clarksburg.
Well, and when we have our bingo on Wednesday night, they kind of fill them up. But that's another big way to raise funds is our bingo. Doors open at 4 and it actually starts at 6.
So. I think, too, it would be a nice gesture for someone to just come by and talk to a vet one day.
Yes.
Just to visit a little bit.
They really enjoy
story.
It. They do.
You know, that's
really
you offer a wonderful service here to Clarksburg.
Well,
for many years,
I've always been partial to the veterans, knowing that all my aunts and uncles, you know, were a member of the VFW, and it's a great thing that they do for us, keeping us safe. Like right now, it's a hard time all over the world, and our guys have to go be not just guys, our soldiers, sailors, all of them have to go put themselves in harm's way to make sure we stay safe here in the United States.
I would love to come back and hopefully interview some of the veterans to hear the stories and have that recorded for history.
That would be wonderful.
As an oral history.
That would be wonderful.
Because there's great stories out
there. I don't
know
if you know about the Wounded Warriors. Did you hear?
No.
They came to the Robinson Grand. That's what it's called. Not Wounded Warriors. So that was, it's called Warriors Rock. And they put on a concert.
When is that?
And
is that something
it
every
just
year?
Happened?
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. They did it last year and they did it this year. And I assume they'll come next year. But they interview veterans and they have it up on the screen. And the veteran tells their story. And then the veteran picks a song and then they sing the song.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And it was, both years that I went, I enjoyed it like you would not believe. It's just wonderful. And to hear their stories and see. And Nancy Price is a member of our VFW. She's a young lady that just joined. And she talked about leaving her baby, that she had come home and had the baby, and then she had to go overseas, and how difficult that was for her. But now her boys are both in ROTC. I know one of them has graduated and one's in ROTC.
How could people find out when that next event's going to happen?
They'll just have to watch the calendar. Go to the VFW website and watch the calendar. It's usually it was like 2 months ago, maybe.
Okay.
So that's the only way to know. And like we post that kind of stuff, but there's no other way to know. Robinson Grand would have it on their website too. They post it.
I was honored to have interviewed the last American survivor of World War I, Frank Buckles. And
was he from here?
He was living over in Charlestown at the time. But anyone that would like, even go out to the nursing home at the VA, go out there and visit these folks and just spend a half an hour with them and hear the stories. Because I'm telling you, you'll leave with a great appreciation for what they did.
Yes. Yes.
It's the VFW, I'm sorry, I never went in there before until this year.
Yeah.
I did not understand what all
you
offered
there. Yeah,
some
people don't, and some people think it's just a bar.
Yeah, they don't know.
Yeah.
Or a place to play bingo.
That's right.
And it's so much more than
it that. It is so much more. They do so much more. And any veteran that needs anything, like I said, if you get a hold of us, we'll see where we have to get you that service, whatever it is. I know last year, maybe a year and a half ago, we had a veteran that needed a roof. And I mean, we don't have that kind of money, but through talking to people in the community and saying this veteran needs, you know.
Yeah, you network out and find help for anyone. And don't be shy about asking.
That's right. Do not. You gave your all for us.
Absolutely.
So we want to give you whatever you need. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Faith, I'm going to have to wrap this up, but I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for
and
having
telling
me.
Us all about this.
I'm sure we left out a lot, but I tried.
Oh, you did great.
Okay.
And if anyone has any questions, they can contact you.
Yes, and if anyone knows about the cannon, has any more information about that cannon or anything about the history of my VFW that, you know, that I don't know, please call and let us know and
yeah.
tell me where I can go look for it. And David was a great help.
Yeah, David Houchin is he's like a walking encyclopedia of Clarksburg. But yeah, we want to find out about that cannon. That's
yeah,
a mystery.
That's right. We need to know when it went from the park in Glen Elk to the cemetery and when it left the cemetery and came to the VFW.
Or if they have pictures and
pictures
things like
that. Pictures would be wonderful.
That would be great.
Yes.
And you can also come in here to Clarksburg History Museum. And I want to let people know, too, we have a whole room just dedicated to military. So there's everything in there from Civil War.
I saw those racks of uniforms.
Yeah,
those are
Civil
awesome.
War on up. I mean, yeah. We have everything. So we're located on Main Street in downtown Clarksburg. Come by and visit us. And until next time, please remember to make each and every day count because you are making history today. Thank you.
Hear sweet music in the silence of your wild wood, to the rhythm played by every mountain stream. It becomes a lullaby every time that I come home to West Virginia in my dream. West Virginia mountain melodies, there's a new river singing to me. Oh, this time it's wild and free, your West Virginia mountain melodies. I feel secure in the arms of your green valley. There's a peace you've given me that shows alone. Take me in like a child to the gentle of your wild West Virginia. I'm coming home. Your West Virginia mountain melodies, there's a new river singing to me. All this time it's wild and free, your West Virginia mountain melodies. West Virginia mountain melody, there's a new river singing to me. All this time it's wild and free, your West Virginia mountain melody.